What's up, apes? Welcome back to the 5-Minute Peel. Today, we are going to be breaking down Robinhood. Now, anybody that's been reading the Peel for a while knows that I hate Robinhood almost as much as I hate myself. So we're excited to get into things here today. We did get a comment requesting that we cover Robinhood. So make sure if there are any companies that you want to hear us yap about, you drop it in the comments down below and we'll be sure to get to it as quickly as we possibly can. You guys know how this goes already. Basically, what I'm going to do here is pull up and share my screen. Make sure to stay tuned till the end, however, because we are giving, in addition to a rating, an official price target. So make sure to check that out and stick with us for the full way to see exactly where our targets come from. Now, of course, the first thing we want to talk about is the company's insane return over the past year, nearly 90% in just the past year alone. The big reason for that is because the company is finally back to growth in revenue. They did decline in 2022 from 2021, but back on top in 2023. So the big reason for that was not because of transaction-based revenue growth, which is the company's main business model, but entirely because of net interest revenues. And for the first time, net interest revenues are now the largest part of the revenue mix. Now, that's risky because this has absolutely nothing to do with the company's fundamentally. It's entirely because of rate hikes from Mr. Jerome Powell, meaning that they're able to increase the spread on what they're making on the interest side versus what they're actually paying out to their users on net deposits. We also saw a return to growth in other revenues. Other revenues basically encompasses Robinhood Gold and some other more minor things. So seeing that come back to growth was an actual positive side because Robinhood Gold and the subscription product that comes with that is basically the company's entire growth plan going forward. So we'll talk about that in just a quick minute. But before we do, we want to break down this transaction-based revenue growth a little bit more because it is absolutely disgusting. The only asset class that's actually growing is options. So it's pure degenerate trading right now, stocks and crypto trading. The fact that crypto is considered less degenerate than something else should tell you alone. Stocks and crypto revenue has been down over the past 2 years. Now, the other big thing that we're kind of very concerned about here is that they are destroying their tech and development expense. This is basically R&D, but for Robinhood, and we can see that it has been reduced by about a third over the past 2 years, and its percentage as a portion of total revenue is on the decline as well. You would think that a company that relies so much on having a superior product would want to invest in this to kind of keep that moat, but they are absolutely not doing that whatsoever. The only thing that they are doing is getting closer to profitability by destroying a key expense. We would much rather see them reduce G&A and marketing, but instead what they're doing is taking a lot of the T&D expense and pouring that into marketing, because that's really the only way that they actually attract customers. You probably see it in your YouTube advertisements as well. Maybe there's one even on this video. But let's go ahead and break down Robinhood's business a little bit more so. So the company is a broker. Brokerage is a very tough business, take it from me. I actually used to work at a big wirehouse brokerage firm. And so one of the biggest differences that you'll notice in looking at Robinhood's 10K or 10Q versus other brokerage firms is the way that they describe their users. Robinhood does call them users, much like Facebook would or Twitter or like somebody that uses heroin would be called a user, whereas other brokerage firms call their customers clients because they actually have respect for them. Robinhood, basically their whole business model is to have a constant supply of new wannabe active traders that come onto their platform and lose a ton of money so that Robinhood can make money on that bid-ask spread. They make money from payment for order flow. And of course, these market makers are going to have a higher price tag on payment for order flow when the traders are shitty. And that's exactly what Robinhood has. That's why they have the highest price point on their payment for order flow compared to something like a Schwab or like a Fidelity, where they actually have responsible customers. So the way that brokerage firms get business is really through reputation. That is easily going to be the biggest thing because it is a very commoditized industry, has high barriers to entry. Robinhood basically made their way into the game by eliminating commissions and instead just making a shit ton of money off of payment for order flow. Right now, every brokerage firm in the world is targeting the mass affluent audience. This basically means young people who aren't rich yet but are going to be someday. And the way that most brokers are going about this is by having an extensive team of people, an extensive suite of services that can maintain clients for the entirety of their investing lifetime. Robinhood is the exact opposite. They have very limited customer service, absolutely no advisors or robo-advisors or even advanced trading platforms. You know, for a company that's so big on trading, they don't have anything that comes close to Thinkorswim or even fucking Fidelity's trading platform. Plus, their investable assets are limited to just ETF stocks, options, and crypto. No bonds, no commodities, no anything else like that that you could get with any other brokerage firm in the world. They are focusing on maximizing ARPU in the short term, or average revenue per client. They basically want to get as much traders as possible to come in and lose money so that once again, they can have a large bid-ask spread when they sell their order flow to these market makers. Kind of like a casino model, more so than a brokerage model. Now, their three-pronged plan for growth is winning the active trader market, increasing wallet share, meaning they want customers to keep more of their money and more of their investments at Robinhood, things like retirement accounts and shit like that. Who would put money into Robinhood for retirement? That is completely beyond me, but their other big thing is just doing this internationally. So no plans to increase customer service or other kind of services that they offer. It's just to increase the supply of wannabe traders. Now, their goal going forward in order to do so is basically to increase subscriptions as a portion of the revenue mix, and that's by the gold offering. So Robinhood Gold, this is basically what you're getting, is all the stuff listed right here. Now, the only actual cool shit is a higher return on your cash sweep, higher IRA contributions. That's pretty dope, honestly. But the new big thing is this gold credit card, which actually has a pretty good offering for young people, especially if you're a big traveler. So that could very well be driving this growth. That would also likely increase margins, not on a per user basis, but overall, because they're getting that $5 up front. So they're basically betting that increasing upfront revenue and lowering margin per user going forward is better than increasing the lifetime value of their customers. Breaking this down with some charts, we can first see that Robinhood's gross profit margins are the worst in the industry. But comparing them to Schwab and Coinbase here, we can see that it's well in decline in this dark blue line here. Now, if we break it down a little bit further, we can see the net interest has been absolutely exploding, and basically their baseline for it, particularly in interest on corporate and cash sweeps. We see a huge line of growth here and in their personal cash sweep program, which has 633% growth. So they're able to still attract money, but who isn't in 2023 and into 2024? Because obviously, people are going to increase their deposits when rates skyrocket so much. This is not unique to Robinhood. This is the case with every brokerage firm in the world. What is unique to Robinhood is the insane decline in net deposits that they've seen on an annual basis since 2020. So this is basically the amount that customers are adding into their accounts on a year-over-year basis. We can see that it has been nonstop decline since 2020, yet they're still able to make a ton more money based off of this stuff just simply because of the huge increase in that spread thanks to Mr. Jerome Powell. So obviously not a positive sign to see that declining by so much. And it gets even worse when we look at average account size. Now, as we can see, Fidelity, Schwab, Interactive Brokers, these guys are in the hundreds of thousands. Robinhood, way over here, you might not have even seen it yet, has an average account size of 4,000. That's because they play with the young, stupid, wannabe traders market. Now, that's not really working out too well for them. Our thoughts summarized here. Robinhood, they do make a good product for new wannabe active traders. It's an attractive platform, great UX, it's very gamified, so it keeps people hooked. But it can't really do that for too long because they're not investing in keeping those clients and they're not investing in actually making the platform better through an increased R&D expense. They're very dependent on a constant supply of knowledgeless, quote-unquote, traders. They'll do well during periods of strong market sentiment because then you're going to get more wannabe traders. And the only other potential upside I could see for this company is that they are a good acquisition target, especially for large brokerage firms needing young clients. Think Goldman Sachs, think UBS, think Morgan Stanley. This is what we saw in 2023, and applying similar numbers to 2024, we can see that using consensus estimates for EPS, this would imply an upside of about 18% for the year. That's not bad at all. 18%, we'll take it. But what about when we extend into 2025? Again, this is consensus, EPS, and revenue estimates. If we hold diluted shares outstanding and we maintain a constant price to sales multiple, this is effectively what we're seeing in terms of returns. You would see a total return of about 25% annualized. That gets us to about 11.74%. Now, in a worst case scenario analysis, what we would expect is that the company achieves about half the revenue in 2025 than consensus is currently expecting. If you ask me, it could be a lot worse than this because the company is still unprofitable. So getting to profitability is far from a guarantee. And this would effectively net out to an annualized return of about 9.5%. That gives us a final risk to reward ratio of 1.23x. So what does that mean? What's WSO's rating based on that? Well, that is going to be a big fat 2 out of 5 bananas. Avoid this thing. Do not invest in Robinhood. It is way too risky at that risk to return ratio. The only real upside that could come from Robinhood is if it is used as an acquisition target by one of these larger firms. So if you do hold the stock, keep your fingers crossed that that's actually what's going to be happening. Now, a big thing to look out for is going to be their Q1 earnings on May 8th. If we see a huge uptick in Robinhood Gold subscriptions because of this credit card, then maybe it could be a worthwhile investment. But for right now, do not go near this thing unless you want to have less money in the future. That's it for today. Thanks for joining us again for the 5-Minute Peel. Make sure to leave your comments down below. Let us know your thoughts and what other companies you guys want to see. Otherwise, have a phenomenal rest of your week. Happy investing. Happy trading. Bye now.